You can't be serious, man. You cannot be serious!
Okay.
And well, we are back. Sam, my name's Fiona Byrne. I'm back here in the studio with Sam Newman. We've lost Don Scott, I'm afraid. Don's had to pop out to an appointment to prepare for his big induction with the Hawthorn Football Club. And Max has left us as well. So it's just Sam and I, and we're going to keep this short because we thought we'd have a bit of a chat before we are joined by our very special guest.
Well done, Fiona, Phoebe. I'm looking at the sound monitors on the computer. They don't seem to be how they were in the first segment.
Am I still here?
You're still here and I'm still here. We'll push on with this. I'm not sure why this is not as good as it should be. Anyhow, yes, we'll have to speak up. So Don's incredibly left to go and have a meeting to see if they can fit in about his horse riding campaign, which I said has been up and about for about a week, but now they're going to change the whole of the itinerary to fit him in, to get him in, to make him a legend. You can't believe that, man.
Don worries me, Sam, because every time he takes off on his horses, he seems to come off his horses as well. He seems to end up on the ground at some point. So I'm rather concerned if he does decide to duck out on this Hawthorn event and go north for a few weeks. I do hope he doesn't come back in pieces.
He shouldn't be doing it. He shouldn't be doing it. He's a frail older man, and he should. But he's obstinate, and he's unique. He's a eunuch. I tell you what I wanted to ask you about now. See, now, a lot of topics I could ask you about, and I don't want to get you into trouble with any of them. Now, Barry Crocker, did you hear about this?
Barry
Crocker has taken exception, I think, to an advertising campaign where an underwear company says, don't have a Barry Crocker with your underwear, buy our stuff. And he's taken exception, I think, to the fact, I'm not sure if he's tongue-in-cheek or not, but he's taken exception to the fact that the term Barry Crocker has become a euphemism for shocker, and then his name then becomes associated with things that are shocking. I have some sympathy for him, to be honest. What do you think?
All I can say is Barry is back. I mean, this really has been a fantastically talkable story. Barry has his knickers in a knot, let's be honest. That's what we're talking about. And this is exactly what, as you say, is exactly what's happened. An underwear company by the name of Step One, they have been using the phrase Barry Crocker in a commercial that they currently have airing.
Drive you mad, the commercial.
Is what they are meant to do. They are meant to drive you mad so you remember them. Barry, I think, really would just like to have been asked if he had any objection to his name being used. And that did not happen. And I understand that he's had people on his behalf sort of try and contact the company to see if perhaps, you know, they could discuss this issue with him. That hasn't happened. And anyway, he's now engaged a lawyer to act on his behalf to, to just perhaps try
out of courtesy.
Yes, perhaps try and sort of either obtain an apology or perhaps, you know, just get some
sort
of dialogue going between them.
Now, I hate to insert myself into these things, and I have several times today, but this happened with me. A very good friend and a great talent, a bloke called Andrew Starton.
Yes.
He took my voice off, and first time I heard him take my voice off, I actually couldn't remember saying those things. I said, when did I say that? And Eddie said, no, that's not you speaking, that's Andrew Starton. I said, are you serious? Anyhow, so Nando's got him to voice over commercials, and I heard the commercial. I'm driving in my car and I thought, I didn't do that commercial, and it was his voice. And I was on Triple M at the time, and I said exactly that. I said, you reckon they might have just asked me if it's all right to pretend that it's me advertising the product? So anyhow, I said that I said something, said something not pleasant about the product, and so they took it off the air, and they didn't take me off the air, and they stopped doing it. But that's a bit the same thing, and they did that with Mick Malloy,
yes,
with the tab bet, or you know,
there was a betting company,
and I think they settled that with Mick. They said they tried to make out it was Mick, and now the bloke still does it, but tones his voice down a bit. So it's just a courtesy thing, isn't it?
Yes,
or do you think we are all a bit precious?
No, I think if you make your, if you're an identity and in your situation with your voice, you know, you can't be, it's really not good form to be passing off as being someone else. I think that's perhaps where what your issue became about. But as you say, really, a lot of this can just be sorted out by some form of relationship being made between all the parties before an advertisement goes to air. In this case, you know, it's an interesting case because Barry is entitled to protect his name, but the company that is using his name in this ad is probably going to say, well, we're not using Barry Crocker's name, we're using the words and we're using them as rhyming slang, and that name has become known in the general public for rhyming slang for having a shocker.
Yeah.
So it's going to be, I think, one to watch, but as I say, Barry is back, and the amount of media this story got earlier this week and hearing Barry Crocker on 3AW defending his position was quite something. And he has had a pretty interesting year because, of course, after Neighbours was axed back in May this year when the official announcement came through that Neighbours was not going to be continuing, Barry Crocker's original theme song for that TV show went to number one on the iTunes charts in the UK. So he certainly has had a year where he's gone from probably enjoying a rather quiet semi-retirement to suddenly being the man in the headlines all over again.
Yeah. So I'm trying to give an analogy of if your name was really had the connotation... Without being too crude or grubby. If your name sounded like a really bad name and they said, oh, you're having a Rex Hunter day or something, and suddenly the hunt day became a euphemism for having a... When does it become really trashing your name, or I don't know? It sounds a bit precious, doesn't it? I don't know. Well, I did it. I got annoyed that someone hadn't asked me.
Yes.
I would have said, yeah, I think. Because if it's quite obvious in the name of parody or satire that it's not you, but they are, you know, that's so it's so contrived that it's not you. But if it's they're trying to make it sound actually like you. There's a bit of a Mick Malloy, I think. They tried to make that sound like that was Mick Malloy.
That yes.
Because I used to think it was.
Well, so did I,
it was, wasn't it? To start with?
No, I don't think it was to start with.
Wasn't it to start with? And then didn't...
Oh, well, actually, to be honest with you, I don't know.
Didn't he stop doing it and then they got a bloke to sound like him? I don't know.
I don't know, actually, the finessing of that. But I will come back to the Barry Crocker situation and say, you know, Barry did say that it would just have been polite if he had been approached and spoken to before he suddenly saw this ad pop up on his TV screen and sat there, a bit like yourself, sat there scratching his head thinking, oh, I don't remember being asked about this.
Because it is universally used. Because when we play golf, we said, oh, if he had a bad shot, you say, that's what a Barry Crocker that is. and so it is out there, but it's when it's used commercially for sort of monetary gain, I suppose. I don't know.
There's a point to be discussed at the very least.
So then we get on to in this woke day and age of trying to appease every single thing that's happened in previous life. I see Michael Parkinson's interviews might now have to have a rating on them. They were PG because some of the guests he interviewed said pretty politically. And if you ever saw him interview Les Patterson,
yes,
a man, and Mike Willis, he interviewed Les Patterson and asked him that beautiful question where he said to Mike, have you ever met any celebrities? He said, yes. He said, I met Joan Collins, and she was advertising perfume, and he said, he said, I asked Joan. Joan, I asked Joan what she, what perfume, what she put behind her ears to attract men. And Mike said, what did she put behind her ears to attract men? And he said, her ankles. And that Mike Willis, absolutely collapsed. You could hear the crew laughing. And Les said, is this a dry run? Are we going to air without? So they put that to air. So they'd probably have to say that that's pretty politically incorrect. But Parkinson's interviewed a lot of people who have said probably racist and gratuitously sexist things over the years, and now that's all coming back, the wokeness to grab people.
I think it's, I do think it's a shame because the interviews are done of the time. They are of the time. And, you know, these interviews, which were part of the Parkinson in Australia series that were done in the late 70s and early 1980s, you know, they are now, they're still able to be seen, but they come with a content warning on them. And so, as I said, it just feels to me like, you know, they are of their time. They're not inappropriate for their time. And I'm not really sure what this actually achieves, because again,
and
I'm
where
not
does it
sure
start and end?
Exactly, and I'm just not sure that anyone had actually raised any concerns at all over what was what was discussed in these interviews.
Because there's people out there trying to work out how they can be offended the most, and there's going to be a competition to see who can be the most aggrieved. They'll give gold medals out soon at the Olympics for this stuff, and. You talk about, along the same line about Willacy, and so you go watch films now and series on Netflix or whatever, and they have they used to have warnings about drug references and explicit sexual scene. Now they have smoking.
Mm.
They have a thing that say, if you're offended by smoking, there's people are going to be smoking, not joints or anything, just cigarettes. Smoking. They have to warn people that people are going to be smoking.
And I do think people are preemptive these days because, as you say, there's so many people who want to be offended and they're waiting to be offended by things. Media organisations and broadcasters tend to take the position now to act first rather than have to deal with a potential issue later. And it just all leans back into that risk-averse space that we're now living in. Everything is about being risk-averse, and it does take a lot of spontaneity out of life.
And if you possibly want a better example of this, Phoebe, that the chief health man, Brendan Murphy, was asked what he thought his definition of a woman was.
Oh, yes.
And I don't want to get you involved in this because your employer might... and he couldn't give a definition of a woman because... You know, if you signal as you're a man and you want to signal as your woman, well, that's your right. And honestly, the contrived answer he gave, they probably asked him the wrong question. What is a female? And a female, surely there is no other definition of a female than if you have two X chromosomes, you're a woman. A female, rather. Mm. Not a woman, a female. And if you have an XY chromosome, you're a male. And that's it. What other definition, another explanation you want to give to all the alphabet genders that are out there? And good on you if you want to say you're non-binary and you want to say you're anything, that's fine, and you want to marry whoever. But if you cannot differentiate between the people on this planet, and there's only two of them, they're females and males, no matter what you call yourself, we're going nowhere, surely.
Yes. Well, I think...
Be careful, Fiona.
I think I'm going to move the topic along, Sam.
Right,
that's what I'm
good.
Going to do.
So then we get, have you caught up now? So here's the ludicrous thing about trying to save the planet. This is my thing about getting electric cars. That's fantastic if you think electric cars are going to save the planet. They'd probably do more damage to the planet than properly regulated fossil fuel cars, because if you know how they produce them and what you need to produce them. But it's got to the ludicrous station in California. It says, please don't charge your electrical vehicles up because we've got power shortages. Oh. Because the rush to change to green new energy with windmills and solar is just not adequate enough to power the nation while they've stopped using fossil fuels and gas. So how ridiculous is that? You they've asked you not to charge your electric vehicle up, but buy the cars, but you can't power them up because we haven't got enough power.
Well, I have actually often wondered about this here in Australia, because as there becomes, you know, an increasing push towards people swapping out of petrol and diesel driven cars or powered cars into an electrical powered car, you know, I notice as I drive around, or I notice as I'm, you know, sort of at new apartment blocks, etc., where exactly is everyone going to be parking their car to charge them up? Most of these places have one or two charging points at them. If suddenly there's this enormous rush and rash of electrical vehicles, where exactly are people going to be powering their vehicles?
And this is the whole...
Or charging their vehicles.
Whole knee-jerk reaction to something you think sounds good but is just not workable. It is not possible. And the amount of power needed to charge up the cars, if you put multiple banks of power sources in, drains more energy, and then you need more power. And the only way you can power up the stations is power stations is with fossil fuels, because there's no other alternative. And the drawbacks of buying an electrical vehicle, there was 20 of them that came out. And if you look at them, they're quite sensible. And the rush to do this before the planet is ruined by something that's been going on in it for 500 years, I'm not a great... I'm the climate change, that's a different argument, but... electrical vehicles is about a rush to show that you are woke and you are thinking of something. I don't know what you're thinking of, saving the planet. There's a lot of things you can do to save the planet than stop driving cars.
So I'm not going to walk out the back and see an electrical vehicle among your fleet anytime soon.
No, never ever. So that was... And the other thing we were going to speak about... We haven't touched on it yet. We were going to speak about Nick Kyrgios.
Yes.
Kyrgios. Now, you're a bit averse, I think, to speaking about what the latest charge is from his former partner or girlfriend who's charged him with assault, has she?
Yes. So I think I'm happy to simply to sort of cover that off by saying, yes, he's going to be appearing in a Canberra court next month after being charged with one count of common assault related to an alleged incident with his ex-girlfriend, Chiara Passari. Now, that has been published around the world, and really it's made world headlines, considering that he's about to take part in the quarterfinals of the men's draw at Wimbledon.
It's an disgraceful, exploitive, opportunist... opportunist, salacious story to come out on the eve of Wimbledon. They could have done it any time, and he has the presumption of innocence, of course, before it goes. And I'm not making any comment about the woman's claims, but I tell you what.
And they have been charges that have been laid by the ACT police, just making that point. It's a criminal charge. It's not a civil issue. So, yes.
Why would they insert themselves into it, at all, or B, at this stage? I reckon Nick Kyrgios, I don't agree with. I reckon he's fantastic for tennis.
Mm.
And we've got the blandness of... Nadal and Federer and Medvedev. Why Medvedev? Because he's a Russian, can't play is beyond me. This is how the world is. Why are you penalising a man because Putin has invaded Ukraine? What has that got to do with Medvedev?
Well, look, I think, if I could just put the charge to one side that Kyrgios is facing, I'd like to just talk about this idea that he's bad for tennis. I don't actually think he is bad for tennis. There's been people who have blown up and had, you know, tantrums on court. I mean, Jimmy Connors.
Agassi.
Agassi was absolutely a brat when he was younger, before he really sorted himself out. I think, gosh, if I sat here, I could probably come up with, you know, 10
hundreds
or so examples off the top of my head. It is a passionate sport, and to be good at it, you have to have some form of passion. And everyone's wired differently. If you look at someone like a Nadal or a Federer, Djokovic, for example, they are internalised characters. They don't give away anything. Part of their skill at playing the game is, I suspect, the same way that they would, if they were interested in poker, they would be the same. You know, they would just show nothing. They don't show their hand at all. For other players, Kyrgios being one of them. You know, he is someone who wears all his emotions on the court. He doesn't regulate himself the way other players do. And we have behaviour that for many is considered to be inappropriate, and for others is considered to be entertainment. The one thing about Kyrgios is he is the entertainer of world tennis at the moment. And whether you love him or hate him, you can't not watch him. And he brings eyeballs to the game and he brings headlines to the sport. I don't think he's actually going to be around for that much longer in the game. I think he has a real love-hate relationship with the sport. I think he hates the game that he plays. I think he hates the structure of the business that he's in. And that's why he has actually removed himself from travelling on the tour for the majority of time. He plays very few tournaments actually outside of Australia. He doesn't like travelling. He is in Wimbledon because I think, you know, in his heart he does respect Wimbledon as the greatest tournament in the world. But whether or not he really does want or need to carry on in the long term with this tennis career remains to be seen.
So at Wimbledon you are required to wear white, aren't
yes.
you?
Yes.
And he has not bucked that, has he?
He's wearing red shoes.
Well, that's all right, isn't it?
He's getting away with it. I mean, look...
And so, 'cause I just saw him being interviewed at a press conference and the bloke very aggressively said to him... Do you not respect Wimbledon? He said, you're meant to wear white. And he said, why are you wearing red at a press? He was at the press conference with a hat on. And he said, why are you wearing red now? And I thought he'd say, well, I'm not playing on the court. I'm here doing a press conference with you in the press studio and wear what I like. He didn't say that. He said, oh, I just do what I like, which I didn't think was the right answer.
No.
But I didn't realise he was... So you have to wear white shoes when you – white tennis shoes?
Well, I don't think you have to wear all white, but, you know, most people –
he was wearing
people,
red.
He was wearing red shoes. But
so
the thing about
him is – when you say he got away with it, if they would say to him, Nick, you must not wear these shoes. You can't play. And he would wear white, wouldn't he? Surely he's not going to – they must have got permission to wear them.
Well, he certainly figured out a way to wear them. I think would be the answer. The other thing is, just remember what he's worth in terms of marketing. There's companies out there that are paying him to wear their apparel or to, you know, to wear that hat perhaps in the press conference.
No,
and
but that's fair
the
enough.
Attention that that
can't
the attention
override.
That his antics bring, you know, if it's there is a payoff there for the brands that are associated with him as well.
Yeah, but that can't override the guidelines that are set. So if the companies, of course, might want him to wear bloody hats with bells on them. But I don't – if surely they wouldn't let him say – that someone who's in charge of that might have some gonads might say, Mr. Kyrgios, before you go out in the court, this is not acceptable. You've got to read the rules of what it says. And if they – and he surely would put – they get the company to make him – red, how much red can I have on my shoes? And they'd make him a pair of shoes that qualifies.
Exactly, to the point, exactly. He's a fascinating character. And you know what, Sam? I feel like he is the headline maker of world tennis, and he is a complicated character, and his existence in the game is actually a strangely complicated issue. But I know that I will be watching the match tonight to
and
see how it goes.
And what a disgraceful piece of expediency by the ACT police to bring this out now. It is just, it is mind-boggling that you could have people with that lower IQ bring that out now for what effect. They want to be Andy Warhols. Do they want to be famous? For 15 minutes in their life to saying, oh, look what we did, and their news around the world, they are a disgrace.
Next topic.
This I say.
Next topic, Sam.
Well, I'm not sure if I see our guest has arrived. I'm staggered that you, because I was not going to be here today because I wasn't sure how I'd be after. And you very kindly stepped in to do this and have done a great job, Fiona. And now you see what I battle with Don. No, you've seen how much how I battle with that man who is the most eccentric, annoying. austere clinical buffoon that I've ever met, but I love him. And I don't know how many times and people say, stop saying to not eat, stop saying to, and you've seen, you get into a topic and he goes on to, and you think, hang on a minute, that stuff about Jeff Kennett, and that is quite a story, and he's down there now trying to say that I've got, I know this, he has not booked a rodeo trip up north. He's been speaking about it for years. His health hasn't been good, and he's just sort of said to me, did I want to come on the road with him last week? And now they want to induct him, and he said, no, I won't be at the meeting. I've got a horse show to go to. He said he's had the truck packed for 2 years. If he had made plans, the truck wouldn't be packed for 2 years. And all you asked him was, and he said, no, I want to know, how's your foot? I said, my foot's okay, I'm here. And we went on and on about my foot. No, he is a tripper.
He's
and,
a handful, let me tell you.
You wouldn't, I don't think Daniel Ricciardo, Ricciardo is long for us in the Formula One scene. Maybe I got that wrong.
No, it looks like he hasn't had a good year, has he?
No, he
and
hasn't.
Even overnight, he's had another poor showing.
Anyhow, so I'm just into the, I love the F1, but at least the one in Britain last week on the weekend was competitive. Usually they're just fait accomplis, but they're, well, I see we've got it till 2035. Now, I don't know if you are doing this, trying to prepare for this, but you'd know more about it than me. North Melbourne, what they've imploded, have they, the Kangaroos?
Sam, I just want to say this. I can't understand how a football club gets to the point where there's just such shocking infighting between the people who should be the leaders. I'm in the media, and you know, media, we make our living out of headlines and conflict and you know, any sort of conflict or crisis makes a great headline in a newspaper or an online website. But, oh, dear, oh, dear. I mean, if you were a North Melbourne supporter, a Kangaroos supporter, you would just hope that your club could actually start focusing on the game and the team and actually trying to get everybody working to go forward in unison to achieve a better outcome on the actual field rather than just, you know, having a spat with each other. I think it's just really unseemly. I don't think it's actually very helpful. I don't think any of this is actually very helpful for any club, regardless of whether it's North Melbourne, any club. I just don't think it's helpful to have people having their issues played out in public.
So great, great words, those intangible words that you use that are absolutely spot on, but they mean absolutely nothing unless you're having success on the field. And what has staggered me all the time since I've been playing and involved in football is how can, and I'm only using these because they're relatively close suburbs to one another, how can players with two arms and two legs men, usually, predominantly, well, they are men in the AFL,
yep,
who live in Richmond, and you go across a street and you're suddenly in Collingwood, and then you go across a street and you're suddenly in Essendon. How can they be so different in their makeup? So it is not the bottom office that gives you success, it's the top office that runs everything in every organisation in the world, whether it be sporting or education or entertainment or commerce. It's the people at the top, and you are spot on, Fiona. The players, and I was one of them, we're just pretty dumb footballers, athletes who are good on reflex and instinct and retain about 10% of whatever we're told about a game plan or coach's plans. And all the best players that I've played with couldn't remember anything about what they're told and how to play. They just play because they're good at reflex and instinct. The force of the club comes from the people in charge. And if you've got infighting out of the locker room up in the top office, you got no chance. And that's what's the difference between tried to buttonhole the coach of Melbourne, whose name I actually can't remember,
Simon Goodwin
last year, because they said he was out gambling and shayaking with the players and slapping people on the back. And they tried to, and all the players who'd played for Melbourne came out and said, shock, horror, it's a disgrace. This is not how a coach should act. The very fact he got him a premiership for the first time in 60 years, would all is forgiven. Do whatever you like. Mm. Seriously, Kyrgios, the players and the people, I know them, who are very good people, all of them, who have criticised him, have a look at what they've done in their past. I mean, it's the hypocrisy of all this is staggering.
And I think as a supporter, all I would say is, I actually used to support North Melbourne. I did many years ago when I was
Wayne.
You
were a Wayne fan.
I waned. In fact, I dropped them. There you go. When I was a kid growing up, I was a North Melbourne supporter because I used to love watching Malcolm Blight. That's why I supported North Melbourne. And then once he retired, I moved my allegiance to Geelong. There you go. So that's wow. I am a fair weather supporter in some respects.
Now, when I said Wayne, I didn't mean to say I didn't mean to say you supported Wayne. I mean, you might have been a fan of Wayne Carey's.
Oh, Wayne Carey. I still think he was a fantastic player. Reason why I supported North Melbourne in the first place was because I thought Malcolm Blight was just quite magnificent. And then I, as I said, I moved over to Geelong and have supported them ever since. But look, I always think back to the fan because, you know, as a true fan of a club, it just must really... The fans just want to see their players do well and they want to see the club do well and they want to be able to feel something when they're at the ground and having that moment of being there and being part of something really fabulous. And success is fabulous. People want to be able to go and see their clubs being successful, and I don't think the true fan enjoys seeing their club in turmoil and all of that. I just think it needs to be, whether it's North Melbourne, doesn't matter what club it is, it just needs to be sorted out so the true fan can actually enjoy seeing success on the field.
So this will heighten the push for the send them down to Tassie or something, which is a pipe dream, isn't it?
Well, it looks very much as though there's a 19th team in the future. And, you know, if you have 19 teams, you've got to have 20 because you can't really have an unbalanced league.
And if you think the game is in a state of disrepair about its standard and its umpiring and its running, the more teams you keep introducing, the less the talent pool is spread. They should reduce a few of the teams.
That's a good point, Sam. So rather than going to 19 teams, would you come back to 16 teams?
Probably, but you see, then you'd say, which ones would you take out? And you'd say, probably Greater West Sydney and the Gold Coast. But the Gold Coast, they say, is going to have the greatest population spread in Australia in looking forward in the next 5 or 10 years. That is going to be the biggest growth of population, and they're not probably going to abandon that to rugby league or soccer for the input of the people flowing into that area. So that's probably never going to happen.
So if you sit with 18, if you include... So the future becomes... If you put Tasmania in, why don't you put the Northern Territory in?
Yep.
So that could take you to 20, or do you relocate two clubs who don't want to be relocated? One goes north, one goes south. I don't know.
Or
how do you do that?
Maybe to strengthen the talent pool, Phoebe, we could incorporate the AFWL. We could have mixed sides playing, some women and men playing in the one side, and the talent pool, well, talent, the pool would be spread, and we could accommodate
I think you're just being cheeky. Topic for you.
Right.
Right. Pat Cash. Can we talk about Pat Cash?
Of course. He's one that's come out and said Nick was a disgrace.
He's proved to not be a Nick Kyrgios fan at the moment. But I was just going to note Pat Cash. He's joined a rather exclusive club. He's the new global ambassador for Advanced Hair Studio. Did you know that?
Oh, no, I didn't. Was that what Shane... Was Shane Warren was the...
Yes. That Shane was the very, very, very famous name associated with the Advanced Hair Studio.
Do you actually know how it works? Because I knew Shane very well, and he had a little He had a little...
It's like a little mat.
A little toupe. Little swatch there at the back.
Goodness.
I don't know if it's a toupe. Toupe means it's not part of you, doesn't it?
Yes.
Toupee. So
is it like a little mesh?
He had a little bald patch at the end without... No, just be welcome. I'm not divulging any confidences here, but... And it wasn't quite... So I'm not sure... So Pat now is... It's not hair treatment that makes your hair... You can't make hair grow,
no.
Incidentally. Let's just... You can make it thicker or by...
Yes.
How does it work?
Well, I'm not
bald yourself.
No, either. I've got quite a bit of hair, thank goodness. But he has... well, I can't tell you exactly how the advanced hair studio works, but... Pat Cash has teamed up with them. He's been working with them for a year and he is using their, now I'm reading this because it's, I don't really understand it, but the advanced laser therapy program, that's what he's been on. And he's had stem cell infused PRP procedure. So the ads are going to be airing very, very soon. And I suppose we will see very soon the before and the during and perhaps then the after of this treatment.
So I did say that you can't make hair grow, but remember Harry Beitzel?
I do.
Harry Beitzel was the first he had hair transplanted.
Oh, yes.
Into his, looked like it was a crop of dates.
Yes.
Or just a thatched agricultural strip of plants planted into his head. You get the hair out of your... I don't know where you get it out of.
I think it's like from the back of your hair.
Let's hope you don't get it out of your pubic hairs because you'd have a mass of black curly hair. But they get it out and they do transplant it and I'm not sure that it grows or it just stays there. Did he used to get it cut? I'm not sure.
I don't know. Probably
you can grow hair, but I don't know if that's what advanced hair does.
I just loved, speaking of toupees, I loved when Bert Newton used to wear his wig.
Fantastic.
And I just adored Bert and
then
I just adore Paddy.
Just rip it off.
But he used to call it, he had one wig that he called Oscar and then that something happened to that and then he had a new one made and he used to wear that and it was called Eddie because... You know, the line, he always used to have this wonderful line that, well, Eddie's been on everything else, you know, in terms of television and radio, wherever. It's like, you know what? Now he's on my head. So it was the wig was called Eddie.
He came into the footy show once with we got him on for some reason and he had the wig on and he was sitting there and he was chatting to us. And he said, and you're looking good, Bert. He said, He said, this thing's driving me mad. He just dragged it off and there he was, bald as a badger. And honestly, he was fantastic.
He really was and he loved football. He grew up in Fitzroy. He was such a, you know, passionate supporter of the Fitzroy Football Club and, you know, then it moved obviously, but just a really great fellow.
Well, Phoebe, I don't know if you got any... I'm very happy to chat. Have you got any more stuff? I was wondering, the next thing will be, we've been asked to take... vaccines for everything. I wonder if I don't know how widespread monkeypox is.
Oh yes.
But I mentioned this the other day, and people take exception to this. But monkeypox is spread predominantly through the gay community. But now I'm not saying that. That is what they're saying.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not sure what remedies or vaccines we would all... I don't know where I'm headed with this, but... I mean,
neither do I. I'm watching you, Sam.
No, but you think I'm... It's like AIDS. You think I'm saying it's not... It's a lot of people can get AIDS. Not a gay thing, necessarily AIDS. But they say it sort of necessarily is a gay thing, the monkeypox. I'm not saying that. That is plenty of quantifiable statements and opinion about that. Wonder what sort of vaccine we would be asked to take if that becomes widespread.
Well, I think with all of this, I'm just going to... I don't know enough about monkeypox
It's
a safe answer and it's a true answer. I don't know enough about it to give you a proper answer to how it will be handled in terms of a vaccine. And I am aware that we have a guest who is about to join us, but I have a much lighter question to wrap this whole thing up with. Sam, while we've been chatting, your gorgeous granddaughter has popped her head in a couple of times to just say hello and keep her eye on you to see how you're going. And it made me think of the Minions movie, because I suspect that you spend quite a bit of time taking the kids to movies these days when you know, your ankle's not playing up. And I did see this story that's been happening overseas, and it just made me – I had to just stop and think, good heavens. So there are some cinemas overseas that have banned young people from wearing suits to the screening of Minions, The Rise of the Gru, over rowdy behaviour fueled by a TikTok trend. So apparently teenagers are following the hashtag Gentle Minions trend and have been dressing up as a Minion, their little cartoon character, and going to the cinema and pretending to be rowdy little cartoon characters during the screenings. And I saw that there was a report on the BBC that said that, you know, there's a couple of venues in London that have banned people from coming to the theatre dressed as Minions because it's disruptive to other audience members. This is all being fueled by TikTok, and I just don't know what to say. I mean, I don't know whether as a community we've gone completely stupid that we're just now following idiotic trends on social media, or whether we've completely lost our senses of humour and the idea of people really getting into what's a cartoon brand and just having a bit of fun is deemed to be offensive. I don't know. What are your thoughts?
I haven't heard of this, so this is off the top of my head, but there's always a good idiom, I reckon, is if you're going to criticise something, you should have what you would put forward as an alternative. I'm not saying that to you, but I'm thinking how I would solve that problem just off the top of my head. But just on TikTok, if you got on... I look at TikTok a bit because I get sent material by a friend of mine who sends me an outpouring of stuff that goes on TikTok, and it is extraordinary. The sex, the brutality, the car accidents, the mishaps, I can well understand how it would
it's an unregulated space.
How it would be consuming uneducated, unintelligent people who are partially educated would be getting them on the wrong trend in life. But how about this? If you advertise the film Minions and you want to come along dressed, let's have times of the theatre when they show. Here is from 3 o'clock, we're going to have a Minions come dressed. If you want to shout in the theatre and disrupt it, you'll be just disrupting those people who come dressed. Mm. If you come at the screen times when there is no dress-ups allowed, then you will not be allowed into the theatre. How about you come and shout and do what you like and enjoy the movie, and these are the screening times, and if you want to come as the general public and watch it for some other reason, these are your screening times. What about that?
I like that answer. I think that's a great way of solving a problem. And you know, it also, that made me think of the Lido Theatre here, of the Lido Cinema actually here in Melbourne, that had, would you believe, a nude Tuesday screening.
Oh, what? Nude. You could go in the nude to the theatre.
Yes, you could go in the nude to the theatre. It was only for one session on the 28th of June, so a couple of, about 2 weeks ago now. And it was because there was this movie that had been released called Nude Tuesday. And so as a bit of fun, you know, there was this one session, a 4 o'clock session in the afternoon, where people who wanted to come to the theatre and for some reason not wear a lot of clothing could attend that. They could strip down, they could take all their clothes off, or they could wear...
In the theatre?
In the theatre.
And did they put plastic sheets
put,
down on the seats?
A towel on the... You know, they needed to bring their own towel.
So
they
didn't have any bodily fluids leak onto the...
So you had to BYO towel to sit on, and you had to be over the age of 18.
Was there any rooting allowed?
No, because you were asked to respect your fellow moviegoers' personal space.
And so if you sat there next to someone who got a hard on and you're a woman over here, how could you possibly... What?
Well, perhaps there would have been social distancing. I don't know. I think there would have been social distancing involved. But there you go. That to me is leaning on from what you were saying before. You know, if you would like to do something a little bit different, well, that was an offering that was available here in Melbourne on the 26th of June, it was, at the Lido Cinema for the film Nude Tuesday. What a promotion.
I was going to read out, because I did last week, I was going to read out the CDC, which is in America, it's the The Centre for Disease Control is CDC. Sorry, I'm coughing. They gave guidelines this is true. This is a governmental body. How to have sex if you've got monkeypox? These were their guidelines.
Oh, Sam, you're obsessed with monkeypox. Go on.
Well, fancy telling people how to have sex if you've got a disease. That's for a start. It said, keep your clothes on. Have sex with your clothes on. Avoid kissing. Wash your hands. Masturbate 6 feet away from your partner if you wish to by having virtual sex. Listen to this. Cover up any rashes that you have on your body. Cover them up with sticking plaster or gauze. And if you want to have phone sex or virtual sex, do it from 6 feet apart. What government body would put out guidelines of telling people how to have sex with a communicable disease?
I'm going to take that on. I'm taking that on notice. We're going to jump into our next interview.
Well, you have been fantastic, Fiona and Phoebe. And I thank you for coming in and doing this, so you can wind this up now.
Well, Sam, thank you. We're going to take a little break and then we're coming back with someone very special.
I'm open around the streets late at night. I'm worried because you ain't treating me right. Come back again.